KJKJL monitoring state pipeline.
KCAKJL NAWRO.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Tom, heard you're an FBI. I was just putting the AZU back in the check. You know, I checked over that ICOM real good, real close. All the frequencies for St. Clair were correct. So I don't know what was happening there.
Were your offsets proper also?
Correct. The negative was there on the one, and the rest, I believe, were positive. But checked out what was there, downloaded it from the radio, compared it to their band plan. And so the only other step I could do is they don't do their nets, I don't think, every week. They do them every other week. So next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, I'll drive up, crash it, and get a little closer and just try to check in their net, because I've never been able to check in their net yet. So and then once they get the connection, that'll prove it. I guess their range is just a little short compared to what we're used to.
Well, I know I got both the Avoca and the Belt River in my Alinco, so I'll take a look at it and see. Mine does automatic offset. I know I've got the Avoca repeater, so see what's going on. Maybe it is a short haul. I can hit it from Memphis. I know that for a fact.
So that's just really odd. I'm looking right at it right now. Avoca, and the tone was right, 192.8. It is a positive 0.6 offset. I don't know. And then the other one is at Alpha 3, 146.72. Tone was correct, 186.2. And that was the one that was the negative offset. So who knows? Going to go up there maybe on site and... Well, some of them are, not on site. That one is on Port Huron Water Tower, I believe. That's their Charlie 1. That would be the UHF 1.
Yeah, Polka is 147.3 with a positive offset. River's a positive offset also. So I don't know what's going on.
But on that, we'll figure it out one way or the other. But what's your day lineup look like, or you don't know yet?
Troubleshooters just have to move over there, and then after that we gotta go to Kalamazoo and go to a garment factory that I haven't been to in 5 years, and we got communication issues again. So we'll go figure that one out. If you change to the Avoca repeater, you should be able to hit it from Richmond. I'm just down the street from you, and I'm chirping it. So Bart said a glitch on Saturday.
So you got a tone back? Let me try that. I got to switch antennas, so I'm stepping off for just a second. Be right back. NAWRO.
KJKJL.
Well, I think I got it with the Yaesu. Is it just a little beep or bonk or whatever?
KJKJL. Yes. It's like a short tail squelch, and that's about it.
I don't know. I'll try it with the icon later then. It's a mystery. You got to figure it out, because you would think in that parking lot in Memphis, we should have been able to hit it. Unless it's in like that little bullet antenna. I mean, there's not much gain on that, I suppose. We could have switched antennas. That's what we could have done. Because right about that time, the DMR allegedly went down.
Yeah, I think maybe the bullet antenna. I mean, I got a 2 decibel gain on my Comet for VHS, so that could be it, why I could hit it a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, you hit it. I heard you click it.
Yeah, you would think they do vary the repeater on when they have their nets. They kind of switch it up a little. So it depends on which one it is. If the one that's really far away, I think that's the Port Huron one. I might not be able to get that then. But you would think for my base, even though my diamond's not that far up, I mean, I can hit that gateway for Windlink up at the airport, so why couldn't I hit the, I guess they call it Charlie 1, up at the airport for voice? There's just no reason why I couldn't hit that. So something's up. Got to figure that out. It's a mystery. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's all about trial and error. I mean, we had the power up and everything, so who knows? Like I said, maybe the bullet wasn't, didn't have enough gain on it. It could be a possibility.
Because I just recently switched them when I put the DMR in the car, the DMR, you know, I thought it'd be best to have that on the diamond. And, you know, especially for going up north. But then, of course, it, yeah, okay, there's some things to work with there. Sounds good. All right, Tom, I'm going to jump off. Time to go get some eggs. I'm hungry. I'm in the kitchen for a little bit. Should be home today. Monitoring, if you want to test out statewide one.
Yeah, it sounds good. I'll be out and about. I'm not sure exactly what's entailed for today. We've got to do this one at Farmington Hills and do an evaluation and go from there. So I will catch you later in the day then. 73 in your final, KJO.
As always, safe travels, KJO from NAWRO. I'll be clear.
KJO, clear, monitor. WHBD Mobile.
Morning, Wally, NAWRO.
Good morning. How goes it? What a difference a day makes in the weather.
Yeah, after you talked about it yesterday, I was scouting it out a little, and a little rain, but I don't think we're going to get storms. But, yeah, I guess we needed it.
Yeah. Bad thing is, I guess our Indian summer is over. Although it was beautiful while it lasted.
I got my 2-0 gravity lounge chairs out in the far backyard there, and they're going to have to come in. Yeah, dust them off, push off the leaves, and fold them up and put them back in storage for the season. I do believe that might be about it. I'll leave them out for a little longer, but that's pretty much going to be it.
Yeah. My changing of the guards is when the golf clubs go in the basement, which I think that's where they're heading. So it was beautiful out there yesterday. It was like perfect. Nobody behind us, nobody in front of us, nobody pushing. It was freaking awesome. So good old Bob had himself a little meltdown there because we had five in a group, but whatever. That's Bob.
Yeah, I can imagine. You guys must have had perfect weather last night. That just seems to be ideal. Nothing wrong with a really hot day, too, and a summer day. But, you know, I think I like it. Yeah, it's just the fall. It's kind of nice. Change of seasons, put it that way. I'll take all change of seasons. I like that. That's why we live here, I guess.
There you go. All right. I heard JC KJO on earlier. I guess he was got rerouted, Farmington, and then Kalamazoo.
Where my son went to school, so that's a little bit of a haul out there out west for him. But I told him I'd have statewide one on, and you know, if he wants to test on the way out there, I have to pull the map out and see which towers he's going to be hitting. Your little automatic system, which one it decides to hit.
Yeah, along the 94 corridor, once you get past Ann Arbor, it diminishes quickly. That's one part of the state that they don't have yet. So I know because I spend a lot of time driving. My mom lives over there. My brother lives over there. My sister lives over there. My fire department buddies all live over there. All the kids I grew up, kids and kids, old men now. All the old men I grew up now, I live over there, so it's just a small town thing, you know. Most of them you can't get out of the town with a jackhammer.
So in my case, the travels west wouldn't be quite that far, as you know. It's just Eaton Rapids, but Eaton Rapids is, do they have something in Diamonddale? Not this, but they've got, you know, they got Lansing. They've got, they've got Lansing, and I'm sure there's a plenty that will hit the Eden Rapids area.
Yeah, I believe so. They got a lot of spots. The map is what I always look at, and then just let the IP thing do its little seeking. But I'm sure all of that's covered. Grand Rapids, very well covered, you know. So I can't speak for them, but I did talk to Jeff about doing a Zoom meeting for us. Sometime next year, you know, and he said he would be, you know, to explain how things worked and you know, coverages and plans and everything else like that. So I think that was very thoughtful of him, and it'll help us out too. You know, like I said, it's a great system if ever, you know, the whole state gets into trouble. So we talked about that numerous times. So we'll get him to do a kind of informative slash training session on it, and that'd be cool.
KJL.
You guys talking about MI-5 expanding into the southwest quadrant there? I think that's the only good area right there. Did you get all that?
I did. It's supposed to be Wally's turn, but maybe you got a phone call. Give him a little space here. But, yeah, that's how this topic started, Tom, because we were talking about you going down that direction. And, yeah, that's just kind of the area. I'm looking for the better. Oh, here's the better map I had. And it's buried at the bottom. So, yeah, what would be the last? Let's see. Again, you're automatic, so you're not really privy to what tower you happen to be going by. It's just whatever one the radio picks, right?
Yeah, correct. I've got the Motorola does the pinging and the scanning itself. You know, Wally showed me how to set that up, and I think his radio does the same thing. But when I had the TYT, when I was down in Sturgis, yeah, I had to flip around and find a tower that was suitable. Wow, you still out there? Casey, to hit you.
Must have got a call. So there's a Hamilton that's out there on the West Coast. So that's quite a bit north of Center. But still, Kalamazoo is sketchy in that area. Of course, you got Lansing. And then in my case...
Yeah, last time I was down there, once I hit just south of Pirate Center, I think, then it picked it up. But
now, I think it was yesterday, the day before, we were talking to Gordon. Gordon's from Manistee, and he was reaching down to the Muskegon Tower, which apparently just got back in service. Apparently was out of service for a while. But Muskegon to Manistee, trying to clear the map here, that's a pretty good reach. So if you can hit that, that's nice, yeah. Oh, man, they got it pretty darn close, I tell you. Look at all those towers.
Oh, yeah, there's like 16 of them, I think.
Oh, no. We got, I'm not sure, don't quote me on the exact number, but 35. Towers, 35. Pairs of frequency, I think 18.
Okay, I knew it was something like that. It was the pairs I was thinking of.
Are you in route out west or not yet? You're still on this side.
No, I'm in Southfield right now. I was over in Farmington Hills, but that's done. I'm meeting my coworker down to Detroit. We're going to tackle that one out, then we're going to shoot out to west side.
Most importantly, where and when will lunch be? Do you guys just pull over and find a good spot, or I don't even know. Maybe you brown bag it. Who knows?
All depends. Usually I just snack. That way I don't got to stop. And then when we're done with our destination, then we usually grab food, but... Today I brought some chicken salad and crackers, and a banana and an apple, and some snacks. And if anything, when I get fueled, then I'll get more snacks. Healthy snacks.
N-A-W-R-O. Yeah, that's right. I think I remember you calling out like that. You just kind of, that's probably the better way to do it then, especially when you're working. You can keep going that way. You don't have to actually pause, so... All right, Tom, don't know what happened to Wally, but I'll step off to the side and we'll keep an ear out for him. Maybe he'll chime in a little bit. Drive safe. AWRO.
Sounds good. I'll keep my ears open for a bit. 73, KCKGO. Listen out for Wally when he's done.
Sorry about that, guys. Got a phone call.
Oh, you're good, Wally. You're like us. Busy. Phone call after phone call.
Yeah, just kind of the default as if you don't show had to be.
Anyway, so that's what's happening there. But other than that, not much. All is good. I'll be back, too. I'm going into the office. I'll throw my call out when I'm back to mobile. Talk to you guys in a bit. WMD.
AWRO.
Sorry about that. I accidentally hit the T while I had a bunch of stuff in my
Sam. This is Kate Nate, LAX Monday. Kate Nate, QRB, 88, MS.
This is KE8WUO, statewide one.
Were your ears ringing?
No, but what's up?
We're going to help you get rolling in an all-star note for yourself personally to get you familiar with the all-star stuff. And Sean's going to get you a 50-70 box.
I do not, but I very much so look forward to it. And I was looking at stuff online last night. I almost pulled the trigger, so I'm glad that I was patient. But if there's anything I need, you know, I'll pick it up. So whatever helps.
I trust you're familiar with Linux.
Yeah, my laptop has a removable hard drive that I can put Linux, you know, into it, and then I also have the Raspberry Pi, like an Ubuntu. So yeah, to some degree, not an expert, better with Windows, but enough to be dangerous.
With Linux, that's all you got to do is be dangerous, close enough. I get you that, put Debian on it, and I'll send you over the dongle you want. We'll start off with the basic dongle, a little white dongle you can get on Amazon. I think they're like 60 or 70 bucks. That's all you need. And then you can build yourself your own personal little hotspot.
Copy that, yeah. You want me to meet you up somewhere to get this thing?
Yeah, Sean will get a hold of you on the box, and then, of course, you know, you'll figure it out as far as that goes, because that's part of the procedure, you know. You spoon-feed somebody, they don't know it, you know that stuff, but, hell, if I can figure it out, you sure in the hell can, and I'll send you a link over on a little dongle you'll need, you know, and the little dongle's pretty cool. You really know the Pi Star is a hell of a lot more convenient and easier, but it leaves out the steps, and none of these repeaters use Pi Star. They all use either the littler box or the 5070 box. I've got the littler box I use for one, and then I got a HP Terminal 1 that I converted to. I think that one's got Ubuntu on it, but Ubuntu and Debian, it's all the same, it all works.
Sounds good. Yeah, looking forward to it. So you're saying I should buy as a dongle, a all-star node dongle type thing from, like, Amazon?
Yeah, it's a good enough radio. It's not perfect, but for getting used to everything, and then you have your own little node at your house where you can talk anywhere you want with it. Makes it really nice.
All right, yeah, I will look into it, and I appreciate any assistance in that area, so that'll be fun. Yeah, and I will try to learn it and get that implemented so that we can get on to the bigger fish we have to fry.
Yeah, I talked to Sean quite a bit on the phone a while ago, and I think that's how we'll get things rolling for you. And, but if you start there, once you understand the personal mode at that level, then you can start understanding all the stuff that gets added in after later. There's a great, whole bunch of great training videos on it, you know, to start to get to ground level. But with your background and your computer geekiness, you'll have this mastered in no time. It really isn't that complicated. But it gets more in depth when you start adding in repeaters, duplexes, things like that. You know, you could even make yourself your own little duplex node if you wanted to, but you don't have to.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at last night. Is there was a full duplex node that I could make using an older model Motorola repeater, I think, which I liked the idea of that, but I think it's analog only. Let's see if I can find what I was looking at. But that looked like it would be a fun project, because I feel like anything worth doing is worth doing right, you know, so to some degree. Just getting off the ground would probably be what I should do, but I should also think about doing it right. It looks like they were suggesting using a Motorola MTR-2000.
That's overkill. You won't need that, at least not to start. Start with the simplex one, and then if you want, you can just do it with two handy talkies as well. One at VHF, one in UHF, that'll get you used to the duplex part of it. But start with simplex, get that all mastered, and then once you get that so it's common sense, then just move on to the duplex one. And God knows I got a boatload of handy talkies if you need to borrow one. I even got one that will do duplex.
Gotcha, yeah. I'll have to look at what all is.
You want to go like.
I missed that last one.
I said everything you said at the last two, so I lost.
I just said I had a bunch of crappy Bofangs and a UV Pro, a B-Tech UV Pro, and I thought maybe the UV Pro would be able to do some duplex, but I don't know. But once I get the stuff, I'll start digging into the documentation, and we'll just kind of take it from there. And then I said, thanks for keeping me in mind. I definitely appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to get involved.
All you have to do is search for All-Star Node under Amazon, and the very first two that come up will work. It's AURSINC. And both of those boxes will work real easy.
Okay, I'm seeing it now. The AUR SINC Sherry Pie Hat. I will edit the cart, and it looks like I'll have it tomorrow.
Sorry about that. I scanned away. Yeah, either one works. The second one, the little white one, you just flip the cable to program it, and you just flip the cable the other side of the USB to make it work as a radio. And we felt 1 watt radio is what it is. And then the top one, it's the same thing. It works pretty good. And but that's the one a little bit bigger, the cooling fans, things of that nature. There really is no difference in the operation between the two of them.
Yeah, I threw it in the cart, and I should have it tomorrow, so I can start playing pretty quick. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and then you just plug it into the Debian computer, and then go from there. And the software you want is All-Star 3.1. Don't use Ham or Hamboid. That one is different, and the big boys and the repeaters all tend to use All-Star.
Copy that. I will keep an eye out for the All-Star. I think you said 3.1, and I will make sure to use that.
And if you need help, I'll put a Discord message out and get you my phone number, and I can put it on the master roster. I think you did, but I haven't looked at the roster that close. Hey, Tim, is my phone number on the roster?
John, you should have access to it from what Dave gave you yesterday on that the original application. Wally should be on there with the correct phone.
Okay. I do have the contact for Wally. I think I got it when we did the Berkeley and Dream Cruise Parade. But I'm not exactly sure when I got it, but I do have a contact for you, Wally.
Cool, sweet, hunky-dory, and a lot of other stuff. Yeah, I can walk you through it, tell you what I know. I can get you to the home node stuff. I can get trained to all of that. And then when it gets to talking to the repeaters and stuff and interfacing to that, I have no experience with that. But at least this way here, you'll have the foundation to get started. And then you can go, oh, yeah, that makes sense, or, oh, I need more explaining. So kind of split the training a little bit. I got to take this. I'll be right back. WRO.
You see what I got you into? NEWRO.
Yes, I do, and I greatly appreciate it. Do you have an all-star node, too? I'm just kind of curious if you've ever set one up.
No, I do not. I have not yet gotten that T-shirt yet. To some degree, though, I'm so close to the repeater tower. You know, it's just almost. But now I'll still do it. It might be after P25, though.
Yeah, it sounds like Dave's working on the P25 front. I'm not sure, but you might just be patient with that and have it work out better than like it did for me. Is you spend all that money on a P25 radio, and then the county doesn't want to use your radio anyway. So they're going to give you one, and you just got a nice, fancy radio.
Oh, yeah. You know me, I think I mentioned it before. I'm a big believer in good things come for those who wait. So, and I like doing things sequentially. So not done with DMR yet, so got to work on that. Plus all the other work that we were ordered to take a vacation from. But, yeah, I'll probably wait. And then, you know, who knows, maybe sometime next year there'll even be a DMR here on this tower. But, you know, not mandatory for me or anything because I can hit Mount Clemens fine, but the guys in St. Clair would love it, and I think it would help Tom out a lot, too.
Roger that, yeah. I don't know. I just look forward to it for, you know, it sounds like it's actually kind of a cool thing. It can do a lot of things to kind of automate a radio. And
all right, sounds good. NAWRO. I will be monitoring here again while Wally takes his phone call and wraps it up with you. Thanks again, John, for everything.
Not a problem. Yeah, I'm still here just monitoring, so I'll babble on all day about my ideas if you let me.
Nothing wrong with babbling.
You say that now, but you just wait.
Yeah, see how I am. All right, very good. Get with Sean. We'll get you rolling. The very first thing you got to do is put Debian on. You'll like Debian. She's a good girl.
Copy that. Well, thank you, sir. I look forward to meeting up with Sean and checking out the 5070 box. And I'll let you know how I fumble along. So, thanks again.
WACD.
Kilo Echoway, Lima Alpha, X-ray monitoring statewide one.
No, you're not.
I sleep with this radio turned on next to my bed. My wife hates me.
Yeah, I do too. I don't always do it on purpose, but I woke up this morning to Tim and Tom talking on DMR, and I had to turn them off because I wasn't ready to get up yet.
I tell you what I did. I've got an Alexa in the house, and the power supply is hooked up to the Alexa. And sorry about the echo. I'm going to fix this. There you go. So the power supply is hooked up to the Alexa. And all she has to do is say that word and turn off the office, and it turns off all the radios. That was mandatory for marriage stability. Go ahead, AAXWAD.
I put some similar setup for my Christmas lights. But I've got my own little office that I put some foam on the walls and on the door, so when my radio's on in the office, she can't really hear them as long as I don't have them cranked up. So that's a plus side. I don't have to have them on a emergency drop-off. But I completely understand. This is K8LAX. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, all my radios have batteries attached to them, so I can't just unplug a plug or ask Alexa to turn it off. I gotta actually reach up and flip the switch with my hand and turn it off or on or down or whatever. So I'm not as well off as you guys with your mobile and fancy home base stations.
Not fancy. $100 antenna, a piece of LMR or KMR, whichever one is cheaper, a mobile radio, XPR 5550, not the E, a speaker, and a power supply. Oh, and a duplexer. I got a duplexer because I got the VHF and the UHF on the same, two separate radios. So P25 on the VHF. And DMR on the UHF, because that seems to be the way we've been going lately. LAX. I don't know your prefix. I could look at the screen, but I'm lazy.
Lima Alpha X-ray. Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha.
Yep, he's a KE8 just like me. There's a lot of us out there. That's about all I got for right now. I will have to grab one of those DMRs, like you said, the 8550s. But I kind of got a little bit of bills to pay before I start buying more radios, which is good because winter's coming and I'll finally start to be able to pay bills. But it's really hard to pay bills in the summer because I'm so active and always doing something.
I'm using a power supply out of the computer for, and it's got options for cross band repeat. I don't have anything crazy, no digital modes, no nothing like that.
Well, hell, John, it's swapping XPR for an APX. Wink, wink.
That sounds like a fair trade. Maybe I'll find a used one somewhere from Tony or something, and maybe we'll work something out down the road. But I'm going to have to pay off some bills first before I start playing with money again.
I've got a fancy radio on order if it ever shows up. It's been on order since July. I ordered that Tate TM9900. That radio is VHF, UHF, P25, DMR, 7, 800, and 900. I'm starting to think of the vaporware, but I called other distributors and they said that they're expecting them in November. So hopefully this thing is all it's supposed to be. But that, if I get that, I'm going to have a whole bunch of radios to sell. Because then I'll have one radio that does everything. KEALAX. Go ahead.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I might actually have to look that up. I'm not opposed to spending good money on something that'll work, especially something like that where that replaces what, four radios or more. That's wild. John, go ahead.
That sounds like an awesome radio, and it would be a great one to have. However, I do like the utility of having the simultaneous ability to listen to, DMR and P25 and analog, so, especially in an emergency, you kind of want all of them going at the same time, but. So don't sell all your radios. And if you do, let me know before you do.
Oh, sorry. My fault. I did it. I bounced it three times.
Yeah, no problem. If it ever shows, I'll let you know. But it seems like a nice little toy, and they're proud of it. It was $3,800 or something like that. So, and I've got a bunch of Tate VHF P25 radios that I bought off Amazon for cheap, and I've got those figured out pretty well. And that's an amazing sounding radio too. And that's the other thing too. You know, we got a beautiful P25 system over here and around the state for the most part, and it's a little bit underutilized. We need to utilize that a little bit more too, I think. You know, I know I talked to John quite a lot on it. I forget the other day, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, we were out at the restaurant over by Tim's house, and I think there was probably 7 or 8 of us all on it, and there's nothing that beats the audio quality of that radio, absolutely nothing. It's just over the top. I'm going to see if Tim is still here. If not, hand it over to KELAX. Tim, are you still floating around?
Sure thing. I am listening, and yeah, that's the quality of that that you had there at Gathering Grounds, whatever that restaurant was. That was good. That for John, you were on that QSO too. Yep, that's what I'm saying. I might have to take a look at that next year sometime. I forget who's next. Whoever's next, go ahead.
I think it would be Elliot.
Yeah.
Big fan of P25. I think it's, you know, someone once told me that the real serious comm guys use P25, and I don't know if that's true, but it definitely made me interested in it. And then there's kind of a lot of scare tactics between the Motorola radios and P25, where people were, you can't even get the CPS, and then I found it. It wasn't hard to get. It's free, Motorola, and I don't know. There's a lot of information out there about P25 that isn't actually true. It is a little bit complicated, but I probably, think it's pretty equivalent to DMR. So if you can figure out DMR, you could probably figure out P25. I'm a big fan of it. And Tim, I definitely look forward to hearing you on there, because that would be, we use the statewide a lot, which, we'd probably be better on P25, so that it's not across the whole state.
WADD. Yeah, we'll get it all figured out. But yeah, it's 12.5 hertz spacing. The audio is really, really good. The hiccup with the P25 is the cost of admission. You know, you're not buying any tone or a Baofeng or anything like that. You've got to buy a P25 radio, which pretty much makes it that you have to get that device used or spend crazy money from Motorola, Kenwood, Tate, ICOM, some of the big players that are in the professional radio service. That's the hiccup with P25, the cost of admission. KEDLAX, it's your turn.
Yeah, that's been my big deterrent from it. I do completely agree with you with the Motorola radio kind of John. When I first looked into it, there was a lot of hype about CPS being difficult to get my hands on, but I've learned otherwise. That's my biggest cling to P25.
No one in here. Yeah, the CPS is easy to get, and it's easy to get it legitimately. You sign up for a Motorola Solutions account. They kind of verify that you're not trying to start a radio business. That was my interpretation of it. I had to call them and tell them I'm using it as a ham radio operator. They didn't care about the call sign. They didn't care about anything else. And I sat around and waited for a week or two, and then finally just picked up the phone and called them, and then about an hour later, I had access to download the software. So their Motorola is very friendly about pushing out their software, even, you know, legitimately without any fees. And some of their entitlements are so cheap, it's not even worth the hassle. Like the wideband entitlement is like $5, and the voice one is like $5, and the other one is like $5. I mean, so it's not even worth doing the little hacks. I just give them $5, and, you know, I don't care. That way I don't have to remember a year from now, oh, what did I do to that radio to make this work? Or, you know, you hook up to another CPS and it says it's going to wipe out your code plug because you don't have the right entitlement and everything else like that. So when it comes to these things, I just do everything legitimately, and it makes it work nice. Tim, go ahead, WAVD.
Well, John, I just remembered it was in the spring we first joined up. You joined before me, and I think I was the guy right after you, and we were at an in-person meeting. I glanced over and looked at your HT, and I go, oh, boy. This guy's one of the M crew. I just thought that was funny. It's pretty cool, though, too. I'm sorry. I guess Dean. Is it Dean, or is it over to John?
All right, yeah, I don't know, I just, I kind of, when I was first getting, I mean, my first radio was an APX 8000, so it was literally my radio. I decided, you know, I'll buy one's quite, well, technically it was an HF radio, but my first, like, you know, radio I could use on VHF, UHF, was APX 8000. So my first, you know, 2 meters, 70 meters or whatever, was the APX. And I always subscribe to the buy ones, cry one.
Well, the newer stuff would be a Sean question. I have no clue. The older stuff in all of the radio rooms that I've been in and been the third assistant, every one of those that I've seen have been Quantars. John likes Quantars, so even a lot of the repeaters that were just analog for a long time, they were Quantars with the digital part of it turned off. I know for a long time, even the GMRS was a Quantar, the one that's fairly popular around the Mount Clemens area and covers, I don't know, 30, 40 miles. That one was a Quantar for a long, long time. Now it's just the expensive Kenwood or something, but I do know that that's his favorite. The new stuff, no clue. Ask Paul or Sean next time you chat with them. Tim, go ahead. WB.
Now you've got me on the APX 8000 page looking at it. Yeah, that's a nice radio. Over to Dean.
I'll skip on this one. Again, P25 is not my wheelhouse. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really great digital mode and works really well. And it's kind of like private, you know, because so few people use it. So it's kind of nice in that regard. It's kind of something that I could see like administration using. And especially ARPSC, something that, you know, you can sidebar it on and then use DMR for, like, the main deployments. So, but I'm getting a phone call here real quick. I'll pass it over to Wally.
All right, this will be my final. Let me step out. You're looking at radios, too. The other one you want to look at, and you can get this one now, is the Tate TP9900. That's a multi-band handheld, multi-protocol handheld, VHF, UHF 7, 8, which is useless to us, and 9. And there is a strong 900 repeater also at Mount Clemens and all over the state. So that's, you know, I think if I were to blow money on something that was good and I wanted a handheld and I'd look closer to the towers, I would own the TP9900. SMR, for some crazy reason, works really, really good around here. The other digital protocol that's really popular in this state and super powerful, but it has a whole different group of hands that follow it, is the Fusion setup. I mean, if you ever looked at the Eastern Michigan Link setup of the map that they got for the state, it's like, oh my gosh. And that thing is over the top, super coverage. The people that it's weird, and this, the audio quality is supposed to be right there with P25 because they use the wide spacing for digital. But that is also like super, super powerful, super, super clean. It has its own group of guys that you don't hear anywhere else except on the Fusion thing. I'm going to hand it to K-E-E-L-A-X.
Well, you did say you were passing off after this one, so 7-3 is good talking to you. Fusion, I'm going to look into the Tate radio now that you've mentioned. I do actually have a Yaesu set up in the car that uses Fusion, but I have no idea how it works. I haven't played with it. I ended up getting this radio from Dave, and there is a couple stations that are channels, I should say, that are programmed that stay there on Fusion, but I haven't heard anybody talk on them. But I also another mode that I'm definitely interested in. Tim, over to you.
Yaesu version for digital. So I do like Yaesu radios. It's just in this immediate area, I don't know, they're seems that DMR is a little bit more of a king, but hey, it's still something to look at. And the Tate and the APX, ooh, price point on that is just, it's an I don't know thing. But all right, Wally, I think you said you were jumping out, so I'll see if John is available, and if not, pause for Wally. If no Wally, then back to you, Dean.
This is K-E-8-W-U-O, but the APX, I bought mine brand new for a little less than $6, but the same guy occasionally will get them for around $4. New old stock, so they have the tags, they've never been used, so it's pretty expensive, but it's kind of doable, but especially for what you get out of an APX, it's kind of going to last a lifetime, you know. But they're not cheap, but they're awesome, you know. It's VHF, UHF, 7 and 800 megahertz analog and P25, so it has some really awesome features. One of my favorite features on any Motorola is the nuisance delete. And if you don't know what that is, you shouldn't look into it because you'll want it, and that will drive your decisions from henceforth.
Yeah, I'm here. Last thing on the Fusion part, let it go then. This is for K-E-A-L-A-X. If you do have a Fusion radio, the website, or just do a Google search for Eastern Michigan Link. And they have a couple free sites, and you can see the map coverage. You know, they'll tell you how to set it up, the whole ball of wax. And they're a great group of guys. Nothing bad at all. Great group of guys. Very fun to talk to. And they're not possessive of their Fusion stuff. They welcome people to come say hi. So it just wasn't for me. You know, I like talking techie geeky type stuff. And they talk just general hand stuff, which is fine, but they're very welcoming, and I go over there once in a great while and say hi. I got a Yaesu ST5D or whatever the heck it is, and I think I probably use it once a month and just say, hey, how's everybody doing? And it's fun, but just check that out, and you'll be able to hit where you're at. I mean, you'll be able to hit that thing in your freaking basement. So I'm out. This is it, and I'm going to hand it to LAX, and I'm leaving. You guys be good. W-A-B-D, bye.
Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it. And 7.3s. I do have a Yuzu STM300D. It does have Fusion, so I'll look into it. It's not super high on the priority list. I'm still learning how to program this radio and kind of play around with some of its features. It's also a APRS radio, which is what I've been playing with recently. The cool thing about this radio is it's got a micro SD card in the side of the control face, so I can pull that SD card out and read my program in the computer, play with it, and then put the SD card back in and flash it back over. So I really like that feature. I will hand it now back over to Tim. This is KE8LAX.
Yeah, my Yaesu for the base FDM150. It's not digital, just UHF, VHF, but it has that that SD card in the front head unit too as well. Although lately I've just been keeping the programming cable attached to the back as a resident cable, and it doesn't seem to affect performance, and I can, you know, kind of like push and pull the code plug as much as I want to play around with it. But you can do that when it's a base. So, but either way it works. Of course, I spent extra to have the RT Systems software and cable because otherwise I was going to do it that way, being with the SD card. So. This will be my last. I'm going to listen out, guys. Over to John, good QSO, and AWRO. Over to John.
All right. Well, you guys have a good one, Wally and Tim, and I am going to be monitoring. I don't know if you had anything else for me, LAX, but I am still here if you want to continue rag chewing. But it wouldn't hurt for you to get into the Fusion side in the event of an emergency. It might be good if someone on the team could monitor Fusion and act maybe as a relay type of thing. So I know Wally can, but he might be tied up with DMR or something. So I think it would be good maybe to cover multiple hosts to capture the most amount of people. So just food for thought.
Yeah, 7.3, Tim. As a side note comment, you don't have to come back to it. This particular radio, my programming cable is behind the control head, so if the control head is attached to the radio itself, I can't leave the plugged into it unless I were to detach it and do a remote setup, then I could. And I think I'm gonna work on some photography stuff. So, but I will be monitoring. Like I said, my radio is on all the time now. DMR's kind of turned into almost my favorite mode. So, I will I'll be clear on your final note.
Yeah, DMR is probably temporarily, I'm hoping, taken. I'll at least say it's way up there on the list of favorite modes. P25 is probably still going to be my favorite, but I would like it more if it worked at my work as well as this DMR does, because P25 gets a little tricky at the Utica, Shelby Township area, especially inside of the building. But maybe one of these days I'll get a Quantar and put it on the building or something. We'll see.
Fair enough. That sounds interesting. I'm assuming that would probably be similar to the location that the app says you're responding to. Anyway, 7.3, this is KE8LAX, standing by and monitoring.
This is KE8WUO. I will also be standing by and monitoring. 7.3, everyone.
KE8WOJ.
KE8WOJ, KE8LAX, go ahead.
Good afternoon, fellas. Heard you out there, been listening for a while. Fusion's kind of fun. as well as C4FM. But it's got its own little quirks like anything else.
Yeah, I haven't played with it much. Like I said, my radio's got some preset channels in there with Fusion. I don't ever hear anyone talking on it. Don't have any experience in it. Eventually, I'll play with it because this is a very, very capable radio, which I had no idea. I love the fact that it was made available. I'm so glad that I got it. But yeah, I'm definitely interested in playing around with it. My biggest thing I've been trying to do is set up the APRS and actually see if I can end up on the APRS live map, driving around and playing. That's ultimately my goal at the moment. Then I'll probably, once I get that all the course worked out of that, I might move over to looking into Fusion.
Well, that's kind of fun. I did the same when I first got my license, and it is kind of neat. I used to like to watch that map, and I used to see a couple of freighters with APRS running, going up through the Detroit River there. Yeah, I had the trouble is you got to get a way in with Fusion or, you know, Warriors X. And the only repeater in my area was a GM repeater down in Detroit. And it seemed like it was tied up most of the time. So it was frustrating because there was only one way in, and it was usually busy. I ended up buying, I had a 991A. I call the Atrocity the 991 Atrocity. And while it was in on one of its many trips for repairs, I replaced it with a FT300D mobile. And that thing can boot as a hotspot, Warriors X hotspot. And the world changed once that happened because I had my own way in. And it's kind of like, just like DMR, it's you can travel around all over the world. It's very nice.
You said FT300D. Is that different from the FTM300D?
I'm not real sure. Let me look. Maybe I'm... let's see. Oh, that's what... No, I'm sorry. It's FTM300D. That's what I've got. Is that what you're running?
That is exactly what I'm running. And you said you can boot that into, like, a hotspot?
Yes, sir. There's, I think... four different ways to boot it. You can use it as a hotspot that you can't really broadcast or receive. In other words, it just sits there as a hotspot. You can boot it in so that you can use it as a hotspot and transmit and receive on it. You can have your own little room where people can call into your hotspot and you guys can talk kind of somewhat privately. It's kind of versatile. You need another cable for that, one that goes to the radio and to the computer, because your computer ends up being a way into the internet.
That's interesting. Like I said, this is a really feature-rich, capable radio. I had no idea of that. I appreciate the information. This is KE8LAX4ID.
Boot up in a portable digital node mode. As an access point, you can use your mic and your speaker or connect from another C4FM radio.
Yeah, it's awesome. I had no idea. When I actually dive in, I feel like by the time I learn all the features and actually get really good at this radio, hopefully I'll remember how to go back to the old stuff.
Yeah, Roger that. Yeah, I remember just trying to set it up at first. I had to get a little help because I couldn't get my mind around how it had to be set up there. And there was a fellow on Kansas City wide, John. I can't remember his call sign now, but I think he lives in Florida. And he makes a habit of running around helping people set up their Warriors X nodes. And he gave me a little bit of help, and boom, I got it up and running. But now I look back at this note card here, and I'm like scratching my head going, oh yeah, I remember all this, and I don't remember most of it. I remember struggling through it, but I used it for quite a while, and then all of a sudden just sort of lost interest.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of not necessarily in the matter of losing interest, but with just the radio setups that I have now, kind of does. I mean, I've had my ticket since.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, are you running through a repeater or are you running through a node?
I do have a hotspot set up in the house, but the Mount Clemens machine covers me inside the house as well, so I don't really turn it on anymore because I'm not as sure the brand.
This is KELAX monitoring. You still out there?
He is still setting it up, and I sure don't want to fool around in there. You know what I mean? Kind of mess them up kind of thing. So I've gotten into nodes lately. I've got two now, and I'm starting to look into, you don't know any node builders, do you? I'm starting to look into, I want to start building nodes.
Are we talking DMR or All-Star?
Both. I have a clear node and a ZumSpot Elite, which is strictly digital. The clear node, of course, you can use analog, and it'll do DMR, P25, YSF, FCS, and NXDN. But I'm having a lot of trouble with the clear node all of a sudden. As they do more software updates, apparently it's an automatic thing. I'm starting to have more problems with it. It's becoming unusable. So I'm relying mostly on my ZumSpot now. But watching a lot of YouTube stuff's got me all geeked up for building some Raspberry Pi hotspots.
Yeah, mine's currently on a Raspberry Pi Zero, I do believe. I did buy it pre-built, but it's a pretty I wouldn't say simple thing. You can do it fairly easily with some video instruction. But I've got a duplex radio board on mine, and I'm using PiStar as the system. And it works good for me. I did have a lot of problems with it as they were doing updates and stuff. But as far as I understand, PiStar is no longer updating their system. They're just keeping it as is. I don't know if that was for because of funding reasons or whatnot. But now it seems to be pretty stable, and I don't have issues with it when I come back to it a couple months later. Back over to you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I'm not glad to hear that you had troubles, but I'm glad to hear somebody else is kind of noticing the same thing. And I've only had it a couple of months. There's a 30-day support with it. I don't think there's any kind of warranty, but a 30-day free support. Then after that, it's $75 of email, kind of thing. So, obviously, I haven't emailed the guy to ask him any questions, but into the second month, it started kind of going downhill, and now it's pretty much unusable. So I was thinking about doing a complete factory reset, hoping that would reinstall the original ASL 3 software. But I might just get another SD card and try another operating system, see if it'll work. It's not that expensive, $10-$12 for an SD card and a little bit of time to flash a new system on the card and throw it in there and give it a try.
Yeah, I didn't really play with other systems. I know there's some other stuff that people use. I stuck with what it was with, so PiStar is what mine's loaded with. But yeah, I had some issues, like my Brandmeister password. Brandmeister did some stuff and changed around some stuff, so passwords had to get changed so it wouldn't log into Brandmeister. I had a bunch of little issues, but I'd get it working, I'd have fun with it, and then, I'd come back to it, let's say, 2, 3, 4 months in, because like I said, before I found this system, I had issues. And it kind of killed my interest in DMR, but then when I found the system, that all changed. But, Brandmeister did a few things, and then I had to go back in. It wouldn't work, and then I had to figure out why, figure out what Brandmeister did and how it affected PyStar and get PyStar working again. It was wild. But now, like I said, they haven't really changed anything, so now it's just kind of a set it and forget it, you know, plug it in when you want to use it and go kind of thing. So I like it. It's good for things like trap. That's primarily what I use it for anymore, is if I'm in a dead spot or something like that, or I'm concerned about not making the system, I can, you know, hook it up to my hotspot on my phone or something along those lines and still be able to. I timed out, sorry about that. But yeah, I'm able to get in that way when I'm in a spot where I can't get into the system. So that's my purpose for it anymore. I would definitely like to get into All-Star. That's kind of the next one in the list. This is KE8LAX4ID.
KE8WOJ. All-Star is the beast. There's nodes everywhere, all around the world, and the audio is just awesome. It's very nice. I like it a lot. That's the reason I bought the clear node, which I can use an analog radio. Any of my analog handhelds I could use to get in there and use it kind of thing. But, the wires, I forgot to mention, you know, if you do the wires X route, you do have to, just like DMR, you have to go to Wires X website and get a node ID number. And then if you're going to have a room, your own room to talk with people on kind of thing, you got to get a room ID number, two numbers from Wires X. It's just no big deal. I don't think there's any cost involved. I don't remember sending them any money. Just a day or two waiting for them to send you the numbers.
Which is fine, because if memory serves me right, it took a couple of days. I think it was like 2 days it took for me to get my DMR ID. From what I understand, it's a little bit quicker now, but when I got it, it took a day or two, I think.
Yeah, so you could actually do that, go there, get a node ID and a room ID number. There's a cable you can get from... where did I get mine? DX Engineering or Ham Radio Outlet? I don't remember now. Anyway, there's a cable you can get. It's, I can't remember, $15-$20, something like that. And it'll run from the FTM300D to your computer, and that ties you into the Internet kind of thing. And you're ready to go. You can boot it up as a node. And then, of course, you got to have another... Yaesu radio to you know, talk to your own node. But if you got another Yaesu with C4FM or Wires X, you're in Lake Glen.
Yeah, so this is my first, well, actually I shouldn't say my first, but this is my first capable modern Yaesu radio. I also have an old VHF UHF handheld that's literally the size of a brick. I had to guesstimate, I'd probably say late 70s, early 80s is when it came from. I got it powered up like twice and used it, and I mean, for what it is, it's really good. It's strictly analog. This is my first capable Yaesu radio.
Well, they also have, I got one of the FD70D. It's a fairly cheap handheld, does a C4FM and Wires X also. So you could always use that route, get the 70D to talk to your 300D, and you've got your own little Wires X system set up. You can get in from anywhere. So, like I said, the trouble earlier was the only way in for me was through a repeater, a GM repeater in Detroit, and it was always tied up. It was always pointing somewhere else. If you want to get in and join with wherever it was pointing with the group of fellows that were there, that's fine. But if you wanted to go somewhere else, you had to wait until it was clear so you could point the repeater somewhere else. So I got tired of that and decided to do my own node thing. I bought the 300D to replace the 991A when it was in for its many, 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 many repairs. And I could still do some Wires X and C4FM. And it turned out to be quite a blessing there, quite a good thing, especially when I found out I could put the thing into a node.
Yeah, actually thinking about it, I think my PiStar actually offers a wires option in there. I don't know anything about it or how to set it up, but I think it actually does offer that. And if I'm understanding that correctly, I could just get them through my hotspot from the mobile rig. But yeah, besides the point, it's an interesting thing. At some point here, I'll dig into it, especially because as of the last 40 or so minutes, I've gotten so much information about it. So I'll end up digging into it. But like I previously stated, I got to get in and do some photo editing stuff and update my website. So I'm going to say 7-3s. I appreciate the QSO, and I will be clear and monitoring on your final. This is KEA Kodiak.
NADZG, listening statewide one.
KEA SCR, statewide one.
NADZT on statewide one. Yeah, good afternoon. I'm name here is Steven. I'm from Indian River. I'm on M27 and I'm heading up to Sheboygan. I'm on the Hackleberg repeater up here in this area. How are you today?
Very nice. Name here is Mike. I am right now down in the Auburn Hills area, heading home to the New Baltimore area, southeast Michigan, hitting off of the Mount Clemens repeater. So, very different sides of the state right now.
I think this is the absolute finest statewide repeater system I've ever been on in amateur radio. The DMR site is clear, and everything is linked tight. I mean, and what I really like about it, no freaking beeps.
I absolutely agree with you. This is the absolute best link repeater system that I've gotten to experience in amateur radio. Got to use some in the UP while I was up there for college, and they were nice, but they did not have the sheer span that this system does. And I know a lot of folks want to use DMR for, you know, Brandmeister or something like that, but kind of happy this is just a couple simple talk groups for statewide use and event use. That keeps it simple, and it's a very enjoyable repeater system.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And the fact that no one charges anything for it is amazing. So, yeah, I like the way it's structured, too. So two statewide groups and the four event groups for whatever they use those for. And it's covered. I think I covered I guess there's repeaters up here and, well, the Hackleberg repeaters kind of out in the middle of the country. I understand there's one in Levering, too, and in Petoskey, so this area up here is covered really well by all those people. I mean, by all those locations, and it's, I was listening to some conversation earlier, although I didn't participate, getting very active. DMR is, I mean, every single day, if I wanted to, I could download a new ID database, and it would be, you know, it's like 100 a day getting new DMR IDs, so DMR as a mode has really taken off.
I absolutely agree with you. The number of DMR IDs and active hands on it is
NADZG. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to use one up in the Sioux yet. There was supposed to be a Brandmeister machine up in Mackinac City, but I don't think it's turned on, or I've got everything set up wrong. I have to double check that. It's not this one, it's a different system. WHCC repeater system in the Petoskey is a repeater on a huge tower. They have a big 2-meter analog. And someone loaded System Fusion one, too. They have it. Wires access seem to be hooked up to it, though. At least no rumors that I could see. And not a whole lot of fusion activity up here. Most of the digital stuff up here is on DMR. There may be D-Star, too, but I don't have any D-Star stuff, so. And I don't use nodes. I just use the repeater interface, so. I'm still getting into digital.
Yeah, I hear you there. When I first got my license, I got introduced to DMR, and that's really the only digital mode I have experience with. It, well, a little bit of T25 with some volunteer work I did with the local sheriffs up in Tolkien counties and Keweenaw counties, but as far as amateur goes, DMR is it, and it's honestly my favorite. I don't know if I could how much I could get into Fusion or even D-Star. Yeah, D-Star. I'm not sure. They don't seem to be quite as actively growing as DMR is.
Well, DMR started out in Europe as a commercial protocol. Amateurs adopted it quite later. So it's been around a long time. It's got a lot of development. Fusion really isn't that difficult. You're either using it or you're not. There's no talk groups or anything like that. That's specific only to DMR. And, you know, there are ways you can squelch things out, but you're still using repeater space. It's not like you have two time slots or anything like that. So there's, so even if you're, connecting to a room, you're still limited to one person talking at a time. So it's kind of it's a solid mode. I've used FireZX on the Gaylord machine. They have an active one. And they've got some talk groups, which I figured out which ones were active or at least populated by using the net for that in a System Fusion site that showed the rumors that were on. WireZX, rather. And so using that, I talked to somebody in a popular room called American Link, and that was a pleasant conversation. He was in North Carolina or something. And it was very clear. So the digital part is very clear. I won't say it sounds exactly like DMR. The MV2 encode that coders a little bit different than the C4FM system, but they both are good solid digital modes. And I've heard P25 before. Wow, P25 digital is quite clear.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear. That's the most I've heard about System Fusion. Well, what I'm running right now in the truck here is actually a commercial UHF-only radio, so I've been looking at either a dual band or a single band, and of course, ASU pops up, and most of their mobiles have System Fusion capability. But I do like digital voice modulation. I think it sounds a lot clearer and a lot cleaner, especially in weak signal situations. But you can't really beat at least the system that the state of Michigan has built out with P25. The MPSCS system, it was incredible using that. I got to use it for circuit in the UP and never had any areas lacking coverage.
And was that system like for sources, public safety type thing, commercial system?
Yeah, it was the same system that state police and county police use. The 800 megahertz P25 system. We had a search and rescue organization that we would primarily use amateur radio, but also when we were We had a bank of 6 or 7 P25 handhelds that we kept for when we had joint operations with state police, or we even did some joint operations with the Coast Guard. So those, being able to use those in a command structure underneath the state police was a very, very interesting experience.
I do believe that's chiefly what APCO 25 is set up for, interconnectivity.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch all of that. I might be between repeaters. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, sorry about that. My GPS was going off, and it threw my mental state out for a minute there. And I also didn't want to rebroadcast it, so I let the mic go quickly. APCO 25 system seems to be set up for interconnectivity between, agencies that are doing joint work and command and things. I think that's kind of how it was adopted and set up, so that there could be intercommunication between the groups. So, I guess there is a small amateur radio presence. I guess there's a couple of P25 amateur repeaters found in the Detroit area, or at least in the southeast part of Michigan. There may be something up here, but I think you have to ask that it would turn out or something. I don't have any P25 equipment anyway. It's kind of expensive. So, I haven't had a chance to use it yet.
Yeah, I know Central Michigan maintains a couple of, they got some VHF P25 and I think 900 megahertz P25 for amateur use. I've been wanting to get a VHF P25 rig, but man, compared to DMR or any of the other digital modes, P25 equipment's just a little bit pricier. Unless you go really old and used, and then you have to figure out, well, how in the world am I going to program this thing? Because the CPS was last used on Windows XP or maybe even Windows 95. So, I'd love to be able to get into P25 amateur, so maybe one day.
Sorry about that. I just had a firmware glitch and my unit rebooted. Never had that happen before.
No problem. That's an interesting issue. What radio are you running? KT8FCR.
This is N8PZT. Did you catch that?
N8PZT, KT8FCR. I just got your last transmission, but I haven't had anything for a little while. That was the first one that came through.
N8PZT on statewide one. Once again, I had some radio issues. I probably didn't get any of it.
N8PZT, KE8FCR. Have you been receiving any of my transmissions? I've been hearing you, but not sure if you've been hearing me.
I seem to be getting all kinds of verbal and audio interference from my card here. Hold on, I got to turn. KE8FCR, N8PZT. Okay, there will be no further interruptions from my GPS. I was testing a new mapping system, and since every time I keep the mic down, the thing likes to tell me where to go. In a good way now. But it won't be a bother anymore. My apologies for the situation.
ABDT, K8FCR, no problem. Hey, it's a... The joys of trying out new software is, I guess, right? No big deal at all. I had me a little worried there that I wasn't getting through. I'm using a roaming group in my radio right now, so bouncing between a couple different repeaters here in the southeast Michigan area as I go from west to east back home.
Yeah, I haven't played with roaming on this one yet. It's there. It does have that feature. It's got a lot of features in it. There's a lot of Boy, I am telling you, this traffic is crazy today. I'm gonna have to take a backseat here for a minute. I didn't get the first name. Name here is Stephen. NAPCT. Give me 1 second here. Okay, this is NAPCT. I'm parked now. I can chat for a minute. I'm going to take some cans into Walmart here and get some money for them. But other than that, I'm just taking a deep breath and relaxing for a minute or two. I'm going to an event tonight at a place that's called the... It's a dark sky park up west of Mackinac City. They're having a moonlit night hike tonight, and I'm gonna attend that. So I work graveyard shift, so it's perfect.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, SVR. It's traffic's a mess. I understand wanting to sit there and take a minute, but that park happened to be Wilderness State Park. It's a park that I've camped at before that has a dark area in it's west of Mackinac City. Wonderful place.
Yeah, the very same. It's the International Dark Sky Park over part of the Wilderness State Park complex up there. I could spend hours there. It's such a beautiful area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you work midnight, so taking midnight walk is no big deal. I worked midnights for a couple years when I lived down in Missouri. But now I'm back on day shift in the office. So if midnights were interesting, it was kinda fun, but I'm happy to be back on days.
Well, unless things change dramatically, like I would be offered substantially more money than I'm making now, graveyard shift or how it is, I don't like working day shift. I find it's just a little bit too much for my ADHD-laden brain to handle. I work for a Marriott hotel in Petoskey, and that one shift, you know, for at least 6 hours, I'm the only one there. And, you know, management's available if I need them, but unless it's something outre, I don't really have any need to bother them. And they seem to trust me 5 nights a week, so I'm good. I've got stable employment. I've been there for almost 5 years now, and, I'm just hanging on to it. We get incremental raises, but, you know, it allows me to make a living and get a few ham radio toys here and there and a few other things. Let's me afford the vehicle I'm driving, which is probably financed too much. But, you know, you get what you pay for. And I like this unit, so I'm just going to hang on to it. I'm good for now.
I totally get it. And that makes perfect sense. I did love the lack of management over your shoulder. At least where I was working at a GM assembly plant on midnights, and the management we had in the shop I was at was very hovering. And they would, if you worked first shift, they would be on top of you all day long for 8 to 10 hours. They were right there asking you what's going on, why isn't the machine running, and you haven't even seen the machine yet. So midnights were awesome because it was a lot less stressful. And there's just a lot, the shifts seemed to go a lot smoother. Well, most of the time they went a lot smoother on midnights than they did the day shift. But I worked for GM, and now I'm back here at the Warren Tech Center as an engineer.
Hey, Roger that. Yeah, micromanagement may be necessary in some places, but most of the time I think it just makes people nervous. And I couldn't handle that, which is why I'm not a day shift guy. And hospitality has been a good choice for me. I got a good chunk of my experience starting before I started here at a place in Deadwood, South Dakota called the Lodge at Deadwood. And that's the largest casino, hotel, and convention center out there. I actually, they are the convention center for that area, and there's a Holiday Inn that's a, they have a concert, they're the concert venue, all the big, you know, entertainment people come there. And we're a mile up from the main town, and it's all, you know, we got a bunch of parking meters. We got free parking, so, you know, where you're staying there. And I was 13 miles from Sturgis, and I like bikes, so I got to attend 3 Sturgis rallies, and that was an experience. Really great people out in the Black Hills area. The Black Hills are really about the only part of the state I really like. You know, it's flat and rolling, but it's mostly just so open. You know, there's no trees or anything. If you get to the Black Hills, it's a lot more palatable for me. And I lived in a little town called Lead, L-E-A-D, Lead, which is 3 miles up from Deadwood. And that whole area is part of the old Homestake gold mine estate, which is no longer producing gold, although the mining areas and the levels have been repurposed for doing physics research. They do neutrino detection and dark matter detection. It's called the Stanford Underground Laboratory, so it's kind of an interesting place.
Wow, that is fascinating. I did not know all of that existed in the Black Hills. As a kid, my dad was a college football coach, and he moved us to North Dakota. So I spent a number of my childhood years in a little town called Ellendale, North Dakota, where we had to drive into Aberdeen, South Dakota to get to the nearest Walmart. And I totally understand what you mean by the lack of trees and the flat or rolling hills. That's exactly where Ellendale was. But what brought you back to Michigan?
Simple. I was born in Grand Rapids and I was raised in Gaylord. Right now I work in Petoskey and live in Indian River. Well, ostensibly love brought me back, but unfortunately the relationship didn't work out, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, I guess. No animosity toward anyone, but, you know, had I known it, the way it was going to go, I would have stayed out there. However, fate has different plans for everybody, so I'm here now. And I just, you know, I had to get my job, and one thing led to another, and I've been working at this hotel for almost 5 years now. So, this is NATZG.
This is KEHFCR. Well, welcome back home. Isn't it funny? It is funny how fate always has its way of playing its hand out. That's cool. Back to Mickey. Honestly, though, growing up, like I said, my dad was a football coach, so I've lived in North Dakota, Texas, Central Valley, California, and Missouri, and born here in Michigan, and coming back to Michigan is honestly my favorite state I've lived in so far. A close second being Texas. The people in Texas are incredibly hospitable, wonderful folks down here. It's just really hot, so I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine. His family's from Petoskey originally. He's in Amarillo right now. Well, what part of Missouri were you in, may I ask?
So I was in the greater St. Louis area. I worked out of a town called Wentzville and lived near a town called Chesterfield. The town I was in, oh man, it was Weldon Springs. It's kind of famous because there's a large nuclear waste deposit holding facility there where, you know, the nuclear waste is just going to decay for the next how many thousands of years. Greater St. Louis area is where I was at.
Yeah, from about late 2004 to about 2015, I was in the Jefferson City area. I married a gal down there, and we were together for about 10 years. And she decided she wanted to move on, and you know, we had the big talk, and I just decided to, you know, try to be the good ex and help her on her way. And, you know, I knew her, the new gentleman she was with and all that, and his name is Paul. We got along quite well, and, you know, I left, you know, it's still bittersweet, but we had a good run, and she just wanted to move on, and I understood why, and that was fine. We had a good relationship. We were still friends, and she had been married a little. She'd gotten remarried. She'd been with this guy for 3 years, and she passed away a couple years ago. She had she got a blood clot on her lung, and she passed. So that was a funeral I had to go down to Missouri for. It was not a pleasant trip. I got COVID on the way back, although I had no symptoms for the 2 weeks I had to quarantine. It just seemed like everything was hammering everybody in that time period. So, you know, but I lived in Jeff for a while, and I spent my last few months in the Boonville area, kind of living out of my car and delivering pizza for a Pizza Hut out in Boonville. And the people of Boonville are very hospitable, and I like Missouri. It's not a bad state.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Sounded like it was at least a nice, you know, how do I put it, amicable, decent breakup to the relationship, and I'm sorry to hear that. That's unfortunate. But I hate taking trips for funerals. But I'm familiar with Jeff City. Spent a little bit of time there, mostly actually flying into the little airport they had there, because I was doing flight training while I was, for my private license and pilot license while I was living down there. And that was a pretty common stop. The other tension, though, I did not recognize that one. You have to spend a week down in Crocker, Missouri, down in the Ozarks for a hunting trip, and that was an awesome place down there.
I can imagine the Ozarks would be great for hunting. Yeah, Boonville has a Viertel Memorial Airport. Its K-designator is a little bit odd, because there's another one like it that's overseas. And it's, I was looking it up once. I've got about 40 hours flight time in Cessnas and such. I never got my license, so I've got to tell dual instruction. And the last time I flew was in 2004. And the last time I flew commercially ever was 1985. So, we haven't been doing much flying in recent years. And, I was inquiring about flight training, so I went out there, and Boonville has a nice paved runway, north to south runway, and it's solid. And the surrounding area is just, it's Missouri. Forested, semi-urban. Boonville's a nice small town. It's got one of the few A&W townhouse restaurants that's still around and still active. You can still get root beer in a glass mug down there. Frosted. N-A-P-Z-T.
K-E-8-F-C-R. Now that is a treat. I miss the little A&W townhouse restaurants with the frosted mug root beer. That was always a staple as a kid growing up, and it was a treat my parents would take us out for. So I definitely miss those little restaurants. But now, you know what? I'm gonna have to look up at that big Boonville airport, because I flew to a number of small airports in Missouri. I did end up passing my check ride while I was down there, so I got the private certificate. I haven't flown, and you got to do the continuing or the the biannual flight review. I haven't flown in probably 2 years at this point. Just moved back to Michigan, bought a house, got busy. So it got put on the back burner.
Yeah, definitely on that. I think if I were going to do any flight training today, I'd probably want to go rotary wing or gyrocopter. A little bit different type of flying. And gyros can get into just about anything. But it is a different kind of flight. Now, fixed wing just, I don't know. One, I don't have the money for all this, but if I had the money, I would do one or the other with the goal to purchase either a single or twin turbine engine helicopter and actually do some real traveling with it as I, as I get older. Get older in flight, that's kind of maybe anachronistic, but or anathematic, but I think with helicopters, you have a little bit different situation. Same with gyroplanes. You can land just about anywhere you want without any issue. So, hey, listen, I'm going to have to pop on down here. I gotta get my cans in here and grab some dinner. And I'm probably going to spend some time up here by Lake Huron for a little bit. And just feel the breeze on my face before it gets too cold to want to do that anymore. So it's gorgeous up here, and the night's even going to be better. It's going to be cool, but it's going to be beautiful. So it was a pleasure talking with you, sir. And if I could get your name one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy those nights. It was a pleasure talking with you as well. Name here is Mike again. I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names. I'll ask you for yours one more time.
Mike, my name here is Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Stephen. I'm up here in the Indian River. I'm actually in Sheboygan right now. So I hope the repeater sounds good. I got this little stubby antenna on my car here, and that antenna is going to be upgraded soon. I'm still going to have to keep a magnetic mount because I'm not drilling holes in my BMW, but I am going to get a good solid mag NMO mount and a longer antenna for most things. And I'll just get, I'll get a fold-over unit so I can lay it down if I have to and different things. But it's got a little mag mount. It's a little 2-foot antenna, nothing huge. But it keeps it low profile, too, so I'm not advertising. Again, name here is Stephen, November 8th, Papa Zulu Tango.
All right, Stephen. Well, yeah, it's an absolute pleasure talking with you, I'm sure. I will catch you on here again. Enjoy your evening up there. I'm excited to be in the Northwoods here in a couple of days when I take that drive up to the UP. Nothing beats northern Michigan in the fall. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. NHDZT, this is Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Charlie Romeo. I will be monitoring.
All right, Mike. Pleasure talking with you. That's a K-E-H-F-C-R. Got it. I will be listening for you. I've been talking to a lot of people who get into that Mount Clemens repeater. And if you're going to be up in the Sioux, be sure to go to Paradise or see Tequamanon if you can while you're up here. I should really get up there next payday, hopefully, and get up there. I like to see the fall colors right next to the falls. I was up there earlier, poking around. I went up to the Great Lakes Maritime Museum, and I got to see that, although the rest of the facility wasn't open at that day. And it probably should open in the summer now, or for the season now, but except maybe the museum. But in any regard, it's beautiful up there. I went up in, like, May. they still had a few little snow patches in the woods. It was kind of surreal. Well, Mike, I'll let you go. I get to yakking too much, so you have yourself a good evening, sir. And, hear me out. Give a shout-out. I'll listen for you, and I look forward to talking to you again, sir. Let's say 7-3. N-E-P-Z-T. Out.
All right, Dave.
88-FPW, monitoring Spaylight 1.
KJL, monitoring Spaylight 1.
88-CYB, 88-MS.
KJL.
W-A-D-D.
That's not what the radio says.
It's what we call fake news.
Oh, that makes me laugh. N-A-W-R-O.
Yeah, I updated this radio form. Put some more context in it. You keep getting all these members, and it keeps screwing up the radio programming. Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with the government. I think it's a private entity that does the amateur side of the DMR thing.
Yes, sir. I believe you are correct. As long as it doesn't go on too long.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, you around? I'm going to get you in trouble and use your DNR ID. Yes, he doesn't care.
Well, I presume you gave him a loaner. Otherwise, he'd have to yell pretty loud.
Yeah, he's got a ARPSC ID on his.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I made a little map of, just copied the Central Michigan's Michigan map of all the sites. Well, they're a little behind. They have a few more they need to add. But what I did is I added the actual location of it and the frequency, and it looks like it might be helpful. I'll post it on Discord. We're missing some of the newer sites, but I can add them later. Looks pretty interesting. When somebody's driving around, you can tell where these places are, instead of just guessing where there are.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, very good. All right, sounds good. I'm going to help John get through the basic part of the All-Star node, get him going for the home part, and then once he understands that, then he'll take the advanced class, the 300-level class for Sean. I'm just going to do the 100 level.
I don't think I heard your last, if you made one.
Okay. So, Sean said he wanted to fix that, too. So, hopefully that'll go. I might learn how to do it just reluctantly, because I'd like to see how they did things back 20 years ago.
Well, Wally, all joking aside, I do have you on that list for the, I guess we're going to call it the WinLink 101 class. That one legacy guy, Donald, he's on it, and then the newer guy, Brian, he's on it too. So that could be something to do in the wintertime, just to. And you know what? I tell you what, that really won't take long just for the first portion, just to get your account set up and how to send an email back and forth. And then the second would be how to do it over RF. That's the thing. But we just get the first one, knock that off in an hour, if we could all just get together and have some point this winter coming up. It can be done. And Tom, yeah, go for it with the, if you can schedule it with Wally, if Wally's going to put you on the crew, right? Don't necessarily need to be involved in that either. I don't do the soldering of cables very well. I don't know what it's all entailed, but Wally, that's your area there. But I'm happy to help if you get shy of people. I guess over to Tom then, not Wally.
Yeah, I could do WinLink, and I can, and Wally can do DMR, or I can do DMR, with OpenGDS 7. Fiddle part with that too, I guess.
Yeah, I think you need to run this radio on a cable. That's not rocket science.
Tom, we're talking about an eventual floor number 13 work party to basically put in the gateway radio for WinLink. So it's installing a radio, and then also that, what is it, a PRS. That's now Wally's gig. He's got it with Sean.
Okay. I'll do it. I'll bite my lip, but I'll do it. No worries, no hurries. If you guys hear Dave out there, just tell him his radio is done. I could send him a Discord message. I updated a lot of the contacts, and what else did I do? Updated the frequencies, put the channel, the color code thingies in it. So we got all of that, and all the talk groups are current, and I put the WAAPRO repeater back in because that's operational again. I mean, it's not used very much, but nonetheless, it's there just in case. You know, this radio can hold 1,000 channels. Might as well put every possibility in it, but I could. So I got to go. I'm going to take Molly to go get a hamburger or something because I promised, and I'll chat with you all later. Let's see. Tim, I'm stepping out. And you can take it from here. W-A-E-D.
Thanks, Wally. And thanks for doing that thing with Sean there in both cases. Assisting. Appreciate that. I heard you later earlier with John before. So, and Tom, where are you at? You getting home? I forget where you're at. You got to be getting close by now. N-A-W-R-O.
KJKJO. I'm on M19 in Kinney. Just let my coworker off of Riley Center. So we are on FRS all the way here from Kalamazoo. I got to head down to Kroger's in Richmond and pick up some Chick-fil-A honey mustard sauce for my daughter for her dental nuggets.
Aha, I see. You have a supply request that you have to fulfill. Well, I don't know. You should put a Winlink form in for that or something. Aha. All right, Tom, have a good night. Drive safe and get home safe. N-A-W-R-O after you.
All right, sounds good. Yep, got to go to Kroger, come home, and I have to sprain my throat. I got flu shot yesterday, and that's my throat, so yay. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow sometime. 73, KCA, KJO.
CYB, 88, MS.
W-A-B.